Furniture, chairs. Yeah. Chairs got moved. Oh, the amount of work we put into this for nothing.
But I kind of for nothing. But I kind of like the idea of this. Although it looks so weird, which we could talk about. This looks like that play. What's the play called? With the two guys that do all of the radio people. It's a little Texas town, and then they play all the characters, but they're also
Tuna,
Greater Tuna.
Greater Tuna. Oh, now I want a sandwich.
Hello, cocktail fans, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 74. I have just been notified by my phone.
Oh, thank you, phone.
Normally, we let Dave Coyne take care of the numbering of the shows, but he is not present.
No, he's not present. We're missing Dave. Dave is down in California doing stuff you have to do.
That's right. It's a work gig in California, yeah. So... we wish him all the best.
We do.
He goes to California every so often, and like that, he is there now. But you yourself were in California recently.
I was. Just barely got back in time. Just so lucky. Yep, I was there last week. So I happen to remember this is a weekend. This is not the weekend.
No, this for you at home, this is the weekend.
I guess it is.
But for us, it's a working day. It's a Tuesday, a hard-won Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. No, I beat the crap out of Tuesday.
Yeah, take that Tuesday, you dirty bastard.
Never show your face around here again.
That's right. See you next week. Anyway, so you've been back for a week from Southern California.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great.
You went to Paley Fest.
I went to Paley Fest, and we went to three different panels.
Oh, before you say that.
It's too late.
I know. I'm Jason.
Oh, and I'm Fred.
And this is the Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. And we do a little bit of banter at this type of every show. So,
In case you haven't listened before, if this is your first time, why would you start at episode 74? Well, I guess you could.
It's because you love cocktails. Yeah. And we're going to get to the cocktails.
You can work your way back.
Well, yeah, work your way back. But Fred was in Southern California, so I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
For Paley Fest.
So, yeah, we went to see three different panels. Paley Fest is a television festival, and they have the casts from shows, either from the current or from the past. They've had Carol Burnett and her crew there in the past. And this was the Parks and Rec 10th anniversary of their beginning of their series, three years since they stopped.
Is it only 3 years since Parks and Rec stopped?
Yes. Well, you're still watching it in reruns, so that's why. Or as people like to call it, streaming.
3 years? I could have sworn it was longer than that. Oh, no, I guess it would, because they're fine. Okay, no, I buy that. Well, Danny
Well, yeah, before. That's what they said. So why wouldn't you buy it?
I don't know.
You don't trust me?
I do, I trust you.
Accurately report the news?
That's right. I mean, you're the guy that was actually saw them all in person at a panel a week ago.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to second guess. No. And they weren't on NBC.
No.
And Chris Pratt was never on the show.
He's a big star. Why would he be a little bit part in the two-bit sitcom crying out loud?
I think that's why I'm thinking, because Chris Pratt has become so huge.
So fast.
Fast, but I didn't think it was that fast.
Yeah, it was. Because he was... I think I got an ant in my mouth.
Yes, we have our guest stars today, ants.
If it looks like the table is moving, it's just the ants on the table that are moving.
I've done podcasts with my cousin. Now I'm doing them with my aunts.
But that was great. We saw that. That was the first one we went to. Then we went to the combination of Star Trek and the new... if they come through the door, you never saw me.
It's a drinking game.
And the new Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the This Is Us panel. And so those were...
Did you cry?
I cried during the whole thing. They showed the episode from last week because it was the... Long story short, they were supposed to show the last episode, but the whole season got bumped 1 week because of the State of the Union address.
Oh, okay.
Address?
I think it's address.
Address.
Sure.
Email destination. Address. Yeah. And so they're supposed to show the last episode. They couldn't. So they showed the next to last episode, which hadn't aired. So we saw it first. And then we saw... Oh, for crying out loud. Then we saw the opening of tonight's episode, the last episode. So, and then, yeah, we cried through the whole thing.
Did you really?
The cast was there. Just a little bit.
Oh.
So they watched that episode, and then they went up and they talked.
So you watched the whole episode?
Yeah.
Like an hour left? Well, I guess 42 minutes?
Yeah.
Did it seem like that you didn't want to do that?
I thought, this is weird, but it's like watching a movie. Yeah. And you get right down to it.
I guess so.
And I've watched movies that are longer than 42 minutes before.
I know, but I...
And then they were able to talk about it.
Well, that's true. And you didn't feel like they had... We only have an hour, and we've used up 42 minutes with this.
For fans, this is a big thing. You get to see this episode. Obviously, everybody that's there paid between $30 and $100 to show up.
Okay.
So, automatically, you come in the door, you're a fan.
Right.
So, you say to a fan, you get to see the next episode before anybody else. They go...
yeah, you're right. They would.
And so.
And then they would cry.
And then they would cry. And then they got to talk about the episode, or the panel, the host of the panel got to talk about the episode. So that was good. And they're all, you know, very good, pleasant people, and they, you know, they all seemed to like each other, and they were sort of off their, you know, they're just kibitzing.
Who hosted? Is it anybody that we know, or is it a Paley volunteer?
No, they had somebody who was a journalist. They were an entertainment journalist. So
oh, okay.
I don't want to, you know, still a journalist, but they covered the entertainment beat for, I don't know if it's a Hollywood Reporter, different things. You know, they've all got gigs, right? So, different things. So that was for This Is Us, for Twilight Zone, and... And Star Trek, I'm not too sure what that guy did, but he was up on it all. He was a fan of the series. For Parks and Rec, is Patton Oswalt.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yes,
wow.
He had hosted like midway through the series. They'd hosted one with him.
Oh, okay.
And right. So they brought him back, and he watches the reruns of Parks and Recreation. So he was the perfect guy. You can see it on video on demand online. I think they charge you, I don't know, $4 or something to watch it off the Paley website. But yeah, no, it was great. He knew more about Parks and Rec than most of the cast, and certainly more than we did. You know, we've seen pretty much all the episodes, I think, a couple of them multiple times, but we hadn't made an effort to watch all of it multiple times.
Oh, okay.
He clearly had.
Right. He did his homework on it.
He did his homework, yeah. And so it was good.
Wow.
So we did that, and then we went to a few places for cocktails and food, too, I guess.
Good, because you got to keep a layer.
You need a layer.
Absorbent.
Yeah, yes. And, we didn't make it back to the Roosevelt because they kept having private events, but we did get to a neat place on Melrose called the Village Idiot, which actually had some of the best cocktails we had there. Yeah, we were at Beauty in Essex. They had some good stuff. Interesting. They got into the more where they're making their own.
Yes, infusing their own thises and making their own syrups and their own shrubs and everything.
Want the recipe? Because you'll never make this.
It's bacon washed.
Yep.
Rhubarb infused.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
Amaro that's made in Long Beach.
And Clifton's. We went to Clifton's, which was great. If I hadn't been driving, we would have had more drinks. But we did all right.
Neat. Yeah. No, I've wanted to go to Clifton's. I think you and I talked about Clifton's.
It's a hike.
Yeah.
It's a half an hour from Hollywood.
And it's in downtown L.A.
Downtown L.A., which you wouldn't think was L.A. I mean, for people who are from L.A., I guess maybe they even haven't even been. But this is the part of L.A. that nobody knows, I assume, except for the people that are there. But it looks like Manhattan.
Yes, it's downtown, any city, any big city, USA, in 1950.
Yeah.
Or 1948. Well,
those buildings go back to the 20s and 30s. This is the crazy thing. And the whole bunch, there's abandoned theaters. Like, every block seemed to have two abandoned theaters.
And they're huge theaters.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're all full of rug stores.
Well, and some of them are just closed.
And some of them are just closed. But I think they're all intact behind there.
Yeah.
I think. A lot of them are,
I think, right? You're right. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, if L.A. could somehow resurrect all those theaters like a West Coast Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. There's obviously a reason why they haven't done this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't
it
like
is.
Theater, and they won't pay the actors. if you do theater in LA, you get $100 a night.
Right.
And that's it.
What do they get in New York? 150? What do they charge of those guys?
They got more. I think it's the scale for the theater actors. What is it? It's $1,200 a week or something like that.
Okay. I mean, obviously it's a commitment, but and I mean it could be the same problem that Vancouver has, where they say that there's just not enough interest in the theater. I mean, Broadway. Like, even if you're not interested in theater, if you were to go to New York, you might see a Broadway show.
Yeah, because it's Broadway.
Because it's Broadway, and it's a thing you do. Whereas if you're going to California, I don't know. It's a weird mindset.
And you're
not
going. And you're in Manhattan already.
Yes.
You're seeing stuff there, and so it's just a block over from the Ed Sullivan Theater. It's only three blocks or what is it, six blocks from Central Park. Everything's there. So if you go to downtown L.A. Let's say they have six theaters doing plays. You got to drive down.
Yes, and it's a little sketchy.
Oh, it's sketchy. It's Sketchyville from Sketchtown. It's the Sketchyville part of Sketchtown. It's
Did you park in that parkade across the street?
We did.
Okay.
It's the Diamond District, the wholesale Diamond District.
Right, but they haven't sold diamonds there since. Oh,
they've got diamonds, but everything's triple locked. It's all on the fifth floor and up.
Wow.
When we were there, the Ubers, when we were running on the street, we got back onto the street to cross over, and it was all these private cars with Uber and Lyft dropping people off constantly. It's like there'd be three pulled over at the curb, they'd pull away, three more would pull in. It was a constant thing.
And this is people going to Clifton's primarily.
Pretty,
at this
primarily
time of night,
because
everything else is closed.
There's not much else there.
Wow.
But Clifton's is a huge place.
So yes, it was a cafeteria. It was Clifton's cafeteria. There was multiple Clifton's.
Yes.
And it actually is a cafeteria. You go and get a tray, right?
No,
and
not
anymore. Go around.
No, not anymore.
But it's not table service.
Like
you went to the tiki thing.
I went to the tiki
bar. The lower area where the bands play, isn't that cafeteria trays?
No.
Oh, I could have sworn I saw that in the video clip. Okay.
Not in the parts we saw. We did go around a fair bit, but maybe there's a place in the back on the main floor.
Sure.
Yeah. We went right up to the club. So we went to the second floor. So the first floor has got the fake rocks and the trees and the pond. Then you go up to the second floor, and that's where the big redwood is. That's about 12 feet across at the bottom and goes up three floors, up about 60 feet or so, and with some branches stuck in it. But it's a big atrium, and so you go. There's all these floors, but they're all playing club music, and the bars are all fancy. They've got antiques and stuff, and interesting stuff, okay. New antiques and like new antique looking stuff, and then some old stuff as well mixed in with all these. You know, restoration hardware stuff. Yeah, but that was fun, and we could have spent more time there, but I had a 30-minute drive ahead of me.
You had a 30-minute drive, exactly. You got to head back out on Olympic.
Yeah, you're gonna. Yeah, and to get out
of
downtown,
there's no getting
out of downtown, because I don't know downtown. I mean, I can get around Hollywood and up that way, Santa Monica.
Well, the downtown L.A., too, from my limited knowledge of it, is much like Vancouver's downtown, and actually Manhattan's downtown, mm-hmm. where everything is not north and south, it's northwest, southeast. And so it's easy for you to think, well, this is north, and you've got on the east, but it's the west, and you've completely turned yourself around.
There's one-way streets, and you can end up on the wrong highway pretty quick. So.
Right. But next stop, Anaheim.
Next stop, Anaheim. Yeah. All right.
Excellent.
So we did that, and then we went to Dark Manor on the weekend.
That's here in Vancouver?
That's here in Vancouver.
Was it spooky?
It was spooky and smoky.
Oh.
Fake smoke.
They should call it smooky.
Maybe. So that was interesting. But I'll talk about that later because we got cocktails to do.
We got cocktails to make. And
Dave's already, frothing.
Yes, Dave.
And not because of the egg white.
Yeah. We got an egg white drink. Tonight we're doing something a little bit different. You wouldn't know that on the podcast listeners. But if you were to view this on our YouTube channel... You would see that Fred and I are sitting next to each other.
I know,
like easy big fella, like we're anchormen on a really low rent.
Oh yeah, no
TV show.
Yep, it's touch and go whether we got pants on or we're just wearing cargo shorts.
Exactly. I have pants on.
I've got regular pants.
But it would be neat if we had a banner behind us, but we don't. This is just a...
Yeah, send your suggestions...
For our
to,
set.
To our email, what Dave has.
Something at gmail.com.
Yeah, I guess. It's on the website.
And then he gets mad at us. Yeah, go to our website, www.gentlemanofelegantleisure.com, mm-hmm. and on the contact us thing...
Oh, you can contact us through that.
That's it connects to the email. Yeah.
And don't forget our Instagram account, which some of this stuff is going to be on, if I get around to it.
Right. It's Cocktail Podcast.
Yeah. And we're on Squeezer.
Squeezer, yep. Detritus.
Yeah. Hobo.
Hobo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got everything. And if you want to donate money, you can go to Coffee. Yeah. But it's spelled K-O-F-I.
Mm.
I don't know. That's hip.
Yep.
That's what the young hipsters in Silicon Valley are doing now.
Or just mail us some Bitcoin.
There was a show that used to be on local cable here in the Vancouver area called... Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Were you on it?
No, I wasn't on it.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was called. It was an old record show anyway, and they would play old records. And there was a guy from Neptune Records was on there, and then this other guy mm-hmm. was on there. And then they would actually have a record player in front of them, and they would play an old records.
So not Jack Cullen.
Not Jack Cullen.
Oh, okay.
No. Younger than Cullen.
Oh, good.
But I used to mock it.
Sure.
Because the set was so low budget and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now here I am. I realize how hard it is to decorate it. The fact that they had anything is amazing. We got a blank wall behind us.
Yeah,
they had like an Elvis cutout.
They did.
And they had like colored lights and like a flashing sign.
I think I can get an Elton John cutout if that helps.
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah. And then they would do this thing with their hands. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're doing brandy cocktails. We're going to call this episode Brandy is Dandy.
No.
Huh?
No. Isn't there a song called Brandy?
Yeah.
How's that go?
Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Okay, let's not.
Like
yeah.
So. Life, my love, and my lady is the sea. Right? That's brandy.
Yeah. So we can do brandy, you're a fine cocktail.
Brandy, you're a fine cocktail.
Brandy, you're dandy.
In brackets.
Okay.
And we're going to do two out of this book here.
Oh, good.
The Algonquin Bar and Cocktail
book. I have that book.
Do you?
I do.
I have it too.
Oh.
It's right here.
Oh.
And it was a gift to me. It was an old Barnes & Noble publication. No, I think Sheila, our co-friend, Sheila.
Sheila gave it to me as well.
Oh, I think Sheila got a deal.
Yeah, I think so. Twofer.
Yes. Maybe who knows who else got one?
Everybody else got one.
And it's a good little book here.
Oh, yeah. It's got the Algonquin cocktail in there.
Yeah, Fred and I went to the Algonquin Hotel in New York City. Yeah. And you can do it, too, if you go to New York City.
Yeah, you should.
But if you don't go to New York City, you're not going to be going to the Algonquin.
No, it's
going to
be too far.
And my only concern with this, I think it's going to work for us, but it says here, the liquid content of the recipes in this book are divided into parts, which we've kind of gone into on the show before, where one part represents one jigger.
Okay.
Two parts represent two jiggers.
So far the math is checking out.
Yeah, yeah, right. The whole thing makes sense, right? They say, I find this to be the most user-friendly type of recipe since it makes multiplying quantities easy. And I guess it would. If you were going to be making drinks for 8 people and it called for a jigger, you would just use 8 jiggers. I don't know.
See, I don't think it's that much easier.
I don't think it's that much easier. And what makes it difficult is that they have decided in their book that a jigger is 2 ounces.
Well...
And so they have a couple of drinks in here. Like this, the drink we're going to do here, the Sir Walter cocktail, has one part brandy and one part rum.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already at 4 ounces of booze in your drink.
I don't think they're accurate.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But then they got a teaspoon of grenadine, a mm-hmm. teaspoon of curacao, and a teaspoon of lemon juice. So already that now doesn't carry over with the ease of your...
No. That's insane.
So I don't know whether to do one part as 2 jiggers or to do one part as... an ounce. Because it seems to me that the...
Well, I thought that a jigger was 1.5.
I thought a jigger was 1.5. But they say it's 2.
All right, so what... So... Yes, it does... Is that the ants making the noise over there?
I don't know. I keep being afraid that the camera's shutting off.
Yeah. Well, let me look.
All right.
Don't be startled if I suddenly show up.
I will tell people what is in the Sir Walter cocktail. Oh, I just did. It's called the Sir Walter cocktail, sometimes known as the Swalter, which I thought was kind of a funny joke. The Swalter, because you're drunk. Oh, we're still on. Good. Walter Scott, author of Waverley and one of the founding fathers of the European novel, spent his early life on the rugged Scottish borders.
So is there Scotch in this?
It seems like there should be, right?
Yeah.
No. It was there that he first developed a taste for brandy.
Oh, well, sure.
Which arrived in kegs, smuggled over from the shores of the Solway. Which, I don't know if that's just a typo for Norway. But they say the shores of the Solway. I have no idea.
I have a phone right here.
So, I mean, I guess back...
Could look that up ahead of time.
Back in the day when brandy was such a popular commodity.
That's true. I've forgotten the brandy really does go way back. That's the monks loved their brandies.
And France made brandy along with their wine and stuff. And the people in the United Kingdom were making beer and nothing else.
Dopes.
So I thought we would do the Sir Walter. So what do you want to use 1.5?
Let's use 1.5. So okay. We're going to make one and split it?
We're going to make one and split it.
All right. That should work out pretty good.
I think so.
Yeah.
And you at home can do the same thing here.
Oh, the Solway Firth is a firth that forms part of the border between England and Scotland.
Oh.
Huh? There you go.
Well, that's where you'd want to get your stuff from.
Between Cumbria and Dumfries and Galloway. That stretches from St. Bees Head just south of the Whitehaven in Cumbria to the mull of Galloway.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's dandy.
What are we using for brandy, Fred?
I decided to pick up this one, which is not French.
Oh.
It's Spanish?
Spanish brandy. Well, I never.
I
have.
Really?
I think I have.
Our good friend, Laurie, has had a bottle of this, and I went to look at it the other day, and it was gone. So I'm sure it's a pretty good brandy.
Right. It's a guzzling brandy.
Possibly.
The kind of brandy you could just knock back.
Sure. So it's not really cheap. So I thought, well, that's, nothing. Who's to say that the French have cornered the market on brandies? Brandies go back generations, hundreds of years. And I'm sure that the Spanish have... I'm just going to throw that over there.
Do that.
Spanish have long ago figured out how to make a nice brandy.
This is Mount Gay rum. I didn't know what kind of rum to use today.
Yeah, they weren't very specific.
They weren't. And I thought, well, this counts. Mm, and I had it in my cupboard. So it fit the bill.
That's where I keep my rum.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Maybe this was yours.
It could be. I did have some Mount Gay, I thought. Now I guess I don't.
And I did bring a little teaspoon implement.
Oh.
For to add the grenadine and the curacao and the lemon juice.
It's funny that they have such a little amount of curacao.
Yeah. A teaspoon. I don't know. That's what Swalter likes. And we like this Viking grenadine syrup because it's...
And it lasts forever.
It seems to last forever. You know, if you scrape the mold off the top.
So I like my cheese. I put the cap back on. You want some of this?
Yes. There now this go. Is your Pierre Ferrand dry curacao.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use that to rinse out some of the sticky grenadine.
I do have the little tiny bottles of Senior Curacao.
I've seen your Curacao.
I couldn't, it was a sort of last minute thing. I thought, I should be looking for Senior Curacao now that I'm in L.A. L.A.'s so freaking big. And the Bevmos didn't have it. And so then I didn't know where to go. And it was sort of like the last day. And I'm starting to Google, we got to be at the airport by 2. And I'm Googling best liquor stores in L.A.
Oh, that's always a slippery slope.
So, thank you, Yelp. And so, it just didn't happen. So next time I'm going to do a lot more research ahead of time. So as it was, I only brought one bottle back.
I remember that the Dr. Cocktail did a lot of successful booze hunting in L.A., but I think you have to really be a local to be able to pull that off. Because any time you and I have been to L.A., it's always you're relying on BevMo.
Yeah.
Or these weird, just corner store
right.
type situations.
Yeah,
I think.
And it's sort of like up here. So there's certain corner stores that had, like I went in a couple of those, and they were neat, where they would have one interesting bottle of something.
Right.
But they wouldn't have a lot of, you couldn't pick up everything. And so so I think I need to do a little bit more research next time. But
fortunately, yeah. It's very fun research.
It is always very fun research.
Like, we've even got tongs here.
There's no reason to have tongs. But next time, you know, we didn't really get a chance to chat with any bartenders because the places we were at, actually, could have at the Village Idiot, but we were, again, we were on a schedule. We had to be somewhere. We had, you know, to go.
Yep.
And so we could only hang around for a few minutes and we had to hit the road.
Jack.
So what have you got there? So you got the...
We have got one part brandy. We're going to say we've done 1.5 ounces of brandy, 1.5 ounces of rum, 1 teaspoon of grenadine, 1 teaspoon of curacao, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and ice. Shake it with ice and strain it into a chilled cocktail glass. But we are not going to put it into a chilled cocktail glass.
No, why not?
Because we're going to put the other one in the chilled cocktail glass. We're going to use these nice little highball glasses.
Should we chill the other cocktail glasses?
We could. There's a fridge behind us.
And then magically, in mere seconds, it will have become chilled because we'll cut away.
Yes. Well, plus, I think glass chills pretty.
Oh, sure. My glasses chill.
It's not like we're trying to make ice from scratch. You're going to tell that story?
Oh, yeah. No, we will.
I'm going to shake this up.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? There we go. Everybody loves the shake, shake, shake of Jason Dedrick. And there it is.
Unlike the Shape of Water, the shake of Jason Dedrick.
And I should have actually been recording you mixing all the stuff in there. People like the video.
Well, this is true. This is why it's a three-man job.
Yeah.
We never would have thought it was a three-man job.
Until we tried to do it with two.
Yes, and then we realized. Disaster. Yeah. So imagine that these were cocktail glasses.
Sure. Well, they're yeah, okay.
And chilled.
You know, you do get cocktails in different shaped glasses.
You
do. So your chances of getting a cocktail in a glass just like that in a bar are sort of 50-50.
I guess they actually are, aren't
because
they?
The coupes are fragile.
Right.
Or fragile.
Or fragile.
Depending on what country you're from. Or in.
Or like.
Yeah.
All right.
So there they are.
The Sir Walter cocktail. The picture in the book shows it in a little cocktail glass.
Oh. Well, so ours is, you know, this is going to be... Are we going to do that? Oh, there we go. Dave will like those. So we got some pictures and video. So...
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up, people.
Cheers, one and all. The Swalter cocktail.
Mm.
Now, this sounds interesting to me.
Mm.
Brandy and rum. Did you already sip it or did you?
No, I sniffed. It's got sort of a fruity... Actually, I'm getting more of a rum hit.
Yeah, I'm getting the rum hit, too. I'm a bit of a rum hit wonder. Mm. I haven't even started drinking yet.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? It is very it's a very booze forward, as they're fond of saying in some places.
Wow. Oh yeah. Mm. Oh yeah, it's like a boozy sweet tart. That's what it's like. Now can you imagine if there was even more booze?
No. No. Four 4 ounce cocktail?
That is more than enough.
That's
booze.
Not even legal. BC liquor laws prohibit the 4 ounce cocktail.
That's what I've heard.
Yep. 3 ounces max.
3 ounces max.
At a time.
And you have to sign a waiver.
No, you do. Yeah.
Wow, Swalter.
And you're out. Oh, no, I've started the recording.
Oh, excellent.
What was I doing up till then?
I don't know. But I like it.
Do you?
Kind of. It's going to take a little bit of sipping here to get...
Oh, yeah, no, you keep sipping. I think this is what happened. So this is a good time for me to tell my other story from L.A. So we were coming up to Hollywood and Highland Mall...
Hollywood and Highland Mall.
That's where the Dolby Theater is, so that's...
yes!
It's got the big elephants on top from...
it's like a single word, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the old... the recreation of an old movie set.
An old silent classic.
That's right.
A biblical epic.
Exactly. Well, this is what this was.
Yeah.
So... Oh, sorry, I thought it was... Kids crying, but it's just seagulls. So we were coming up the back, and there's a big flight of stairs going up to the Starbucks in the beginning of the mall. So it's up there. So we're right at the bottom. So the stairs go up probably about 30 feet. They're quite wide, And so we're walking up, and suddenly, over the top, just like in a movie, about eight LAPD officers come running down the stairs.
Really? Riot gear?
No, they're just in their, you know, regular uniform. So these aren't the, yeah, no helmets. And so they're coming down, and, you know, different shapes and sizes, and some of them are, you know, there's a couple female officers in there. Some of the guys are having trouble. They're trying to get two steps at a time, and Laura heard one of them say, "Oh, it's an armed robbery!" And so there's the three squad cars, and they run over the cars. And I guess there's more officers than, you know, there's three cars, and I think there was eight of them. And so they're trying to get in the back. One of the guys, the back door was locked, and he had to reach in, and so they all took off one after another. And so after a few seconds, I said, "Oh, I got to get this on my camera." Right. So I got the camera out, and I hit the button just like I just did. And I did it, and I turned and followed it, and Laura had a tag at the end, said, "Welcome to L.A., and then I hit the off button, and then we walked up. And so at the end of the day, I said, "I'm going to look at that video." Right. And the end of the video was me swinging the camera along the sidewalk, because I had not recorded it, and then hit the record button. And that's probably what I just did for the whole Jason shaking thing.
Oh, well, at least we got the whole story of you.
I know.
Huh? Crime doesn't pay.
Crime doesn't... Something doesn't... Videoing doesn't pay.
Now, the famous story about that was Don Rickles and Bob Newhart on vacation.
Yes.
And Don's got the camera, and so he's got it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's red,
yeah,
it's down, because red means stop.
Of course.
And so there's footage of trails.
I've seen that. Yes. Bob shows that at every show he does.
Yeah, so then it comes up. There, turn that red off. And silence, because it's not recording. And, Bob Newhart would mock him mercilessly, yeah. And then it would be on the Tonight Show, right? They would show the clip on the Tonight Show.
And I saw it in a stand-up show, so probably for about 30 years now.
Yeah.
But they're still both alive, right?
Well, no, depends on what you mean by alive.
Yeah, Don Rickles isn't so much alive as he was.
No. Don Rickles has passed on, I'm afraid.
Right, but Bob Newhart is still doing the odd show.
He was just on the Grammys.
That's right. He was just on the Grammys.
And his timing was great. His voice is a little weak.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
but
like
his
me.
Timing was boom, boom, boom. And the girl he was with, who I was afraid was going to be too young and not get what she was doing,
yeah,
she delivered it well. She's some young music person whose name escapes me. And it was funny because her joke was, of course, "Oh, yeah, my parents said that they used to love listening to you, to your records." Because Bob won a Grammy for his...
That's right, like 63, the button-down mind of
Bob Newhart. And he goes, "Oh, thank you very much." And he said, actually, I think it was my grandparents. And he did not laugh like that.
Right, he went...
He did his, that's nice too. Mm-hmm. And then he did a bit more, and she said, "Actually, I think it was my great-grandparents." And then I thought, that's funny, because that's so extreme.
Yes.
Because my great-grandparents were born in the late 1800s.
Yes.
But a girl nowadays... Mm-hmm. Her great-grandparents could have been born in about 1940.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And could easily have
been Bob Newhart fans.
Exactly. Well, yeah, like if you were born in 1940, you're only 25 or whatever.
That's right.
when his album hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't as funny once I did the math on it.
How did Bob take it?
Bob, that was the thing. He said, "All right." He shut her down. But he didn't come across as cranky and awful.
No.
It was funny.
He's got that way.
Yeah, he could do it. And I was so thrilled, because I've seen Bob Newhart twice. I saw him at Expo 86.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Were you there?
Yeah, that was me.
I was in the back.
I was right in the front.
Oh.
No, I wasn't. I forget where I was. Here's my Bob Newhart story. It's not a great Bob Newhart story. Well, your brother Eric and our dead friend Mike...
Yes.
Have the great Bob Newhart story.
Well, we'll have Eric come on and tell it.
No, we're going to tell it.
Oh, you're going to tell it? You're going to tell their story?
I'm going to tell their story.
That's that way it's not great. You're not telling your story because your story's not great, or it's not great because it's not your story?
My story is fantastic.
Oh, good.
But in a different way.
Okay. You're going to tell both?
I'm going to tell them both. I'm going to tell the Mike and Eric story.
Am I going to record the whole thing?
Yeah, you don't have. We're recording it over here.
Oh, that's right.
You can put that one away. Well, no, leave that one out.
Okay.
There's a drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you watch the Bob Newhart show,
oh, yeah,
every time somebody says, "Hi, Bob."
Hi, Bob.
Which they often
Bob Daly.
Bob Daly.
They'll often say, "Hi, Bob."
Rest in peace, Bob Daly. He died last year.
Yeah. Son of a gun.
Gee, sorry that this has taken such a
turn. This is
the
yeah. In memoriam.
But also Suzanne Pleshette would say, "Hi, Bob." This is the old Bob Newhart show. He's had several shows. But the old Bob Newhart show, you say, hi, Bob, and then you would drink.
Right.
And then you would see how drunk you were by the end of the show.
Yeah.
Which I never really understood a drinking game. Just drink.
Yeah, just drink. Why? You don't need a reason.
Yeah. And it's funny because they would choose a topic that was all the time, you know.
Hmm.
Every time the Wi-Fi cuts out, we're going to take a drink. Well, you're going to get drunk.
I like that one, though.
Well, sure, it's pretty good.
The Wi-Fi drinking game.
Yeah, you have to do it at work. So, Bob Newhart comes to Vancouver. He does the big show at the Expo Theater at Expo.
Right.
And at the end, he's driven away in a limousine because he's class.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric, your brother Eric, yep. and our friend Mike, are outside. And they want to say hello to him.
Right.
And I think they... Oh, see, I already... Once you put think into a story, you've yeah. lost the whole thing.
Yeah.
They did.
Sure they did.
They see him get into the limousine.
Yep.
The limousine starts to pull away.
Mm-hmm.
They go, hey, 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 hey. They run, they run, they run.
Yeah.
And the limousine stops.
Yep.
And the window comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Newhart says, yes. And they go, hi, Bob. And he goes, hi, guys. Rolls the window off, and they go away. Because that's all they wanted to do, was to say hi, Bob.
That's a pretty good story.
It's a pretty good story. And it's better than my story, even though my story is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But mine is not related to meeting Bob Newhart or anything like that.
Why do I want to hear it?
Well, it's because it's the funny, youngish person.
Oh.
I'm born in 1969, so the Bob Newhart show is in existence by the time I'm aware of TV.
Right.
You're right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time I'm aware that there's shows on a regular basis, the Bob Newhart show...
Is one of them.
...is one of those constants. And so I know that. And then the Bob Newhart show, I think, went off the air in maybe 78,
mm-hmm.
maybe 79.
Right.
Right? So now it was done. And then a few years later, going mm-hmm. through old records in the basement, I come across an album
mm-hmm.
with a guy that looks... kind of like Bob Newhart,
mm-hmm.
but like a young guy.
Really?
And his name, this is where it gets dumb,
yeah.
is Bob Newhart.
That's what a coincidence.
That's sort of what I'm thinking, because I'm a kid. I'm like, well,
what are the odds of this?
What are the odds of a guy that looks sort of like Bob Newhart would have an album,
mm-hmm.
an old album,
yeah.
and then so I played it, and so I discovered comedian
yes.
Bob Newhart when I was about 11 or 12.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
That's right. Abraham Lincoln versus yes. Madison Avenue. And so it was kind of neat to discover, but I felt so stupid in a way afterwards, because I thought Bob Newhart was an actor.
Yes.
Not a nightclub comedian.
Oh, right, that too. Yeah.
So it was the old reversal, the old
yeah.
switcheroo. And so that's why it was such a delight to see him in 1986, because it's like Bob Newhart is touring,
mm-hmm.
and I can hear him do yeah. the driving instructor.
Oh,
but Bob Newhart does one of those acts where there's a bunch of comedy,
uh-huh.
but not as much as you think. And then he's going to show video clips. It's a video clip show.
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah. Which I'm going to give him some slack because he's 90. I don't think he's 90, but he's up there. Anyway, that's my Bob Newhart story.
Right.
And I saw him twice. I saw him again. He came to the P&E, I think.
The P&E?
The Pacific National Exhibition.
Oh, right.
I think he came that year that they did shows.
Well, that year.
Ah.
All right. Now what are we going to do?
Kill
some time. We got another hour.
I think this show just is killing time, isn't it? Oh, we should have called it Killing Time.
Oh.
Maybe the two-person show is called Killing Time with Fred and Jason.
Hi. Welcome to Killing Time.
We're just killing time.
Yeah, what are you doing? We're just kicking
back. Just kicking back. We're talking, we're drinking, mm-hmm. we're yakking.
Yep.
This is what it's all about.
It is, really.
Reminiscing.
Mm-hmm. You remember... Jeez, I can't remember my password for my computer.
What? You want me to remember that?
Well, I was hoping you did.
Oh. Do you remember the password to my computer? I do not.
If any of you do, just use the contact link on our homepage.
Yes, please leave a comment.
Yeah, because I'd like to know what my password is for my laptop.
1234?
It could be. But there's a clue. The clue doesn't make any sense. The clue will make sense when I remember the password.
You want?
That's not how it's supposed to work.
You want to tell us the clue?
Sure. Where are we?
Where are we? Wow.
It's oblique, I'm guessing.
And you typed it? You made your question.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah.
And you home?
No.
Because
it wouldn't be anything that you could... That like a burglar, you know, one of those guys with the masks and the pug cap. You don't want one of those guys. Just open up. Where are we?
Beagle boy?
I'm home. You're in. No, it would be not that. So it's.
Oh, I hope it's not you're in.
It might be. I'll try that when I get home.
Where are we?
You're in.
A house? No. A yard?
Well, no, you're not in. It does, no.
British Columbia.
No, because it wouldn't Trouble. Be. It wouldn't be the question, and then the answer would be the password. That's not how my passwords would work.
Oh, it's just a clue.
It's a clue.
What's the clue?
Where are we?
Where are we? Lost.
I tried that.
Oh. Where are we? In a pickle.
Oh, I should try in a pickle.
Sure.
Oh, I like a pickle. I like a deep fried pickle.
I didn't think I would like a deep fried pickle.
I didn't, but people said, no, you got to try it. And I said, all right, it's still better than pickled herring.
I like pickled herring.
I have not tried pickled herring.
Oh, well, we'll do that on the next show. It's called Killing Time with Fred and Jason. In next week's episode, Fred tries pickled herring. There was a great place in Seattle.
This is a very strong drink.
It is a very strong. Can you imagine if you had four jiggers or whatever it calls for?
But I'm going to say this before I pass out. This is really smooth.
It's surprisingly smooth.
Yeah.
Now, brandy is a funny flavor because it isn't like any other.
No.
It's not whiskey. It's definitely its own animal.
Yes, it's not like Curacao or any of this other stuff. Gins. It's not, you don't add anything to it.
No.
If anything, you're taking stuff away.
Yes.
And so I find it's sometimes a little overpowering. I mean, we do have some they call for cognacs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they bring a unique flavor. And it doesn't always play well. But, and I don't know if it's just because of the Mount Gay, because Mount Gay's got a little bit of a, it's not super strong, but it's got a, it's pretty rummy for something that's only an amber.
Yeah, it is. It certainly has a flavor profile that you would say, oh, that's got something going on. It's not just, yeah.
And so it just seemed to work out really well. And I didn't think there was enough Curacao, but I think it just worked out about right. Somebody's put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah. It would be neat to know who actually came up with it.
Well, we'll do that we'll do some research on this episode for the next episode.
We might, for Killing Time with Fred and Jason.
This is very pleasant, and I'm probably going to make this at home.
So there's an orange flavor to it that you would not think you would get out of a teaspoon of orange liqueur.
And I have to say, the lemon disappears.
I guess it does. If it's there, it's only holding up the orange end, maybe.
I think so. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, the little acidity, I guess, is from the lemon, but you don't get a lot of the.
No, because it's balanced really nicely with the grenadine, and I do get the pomegranate flavor. Mm-hmm. I think that's what gives it the fruitiness.
Right.
And then the acidity comes from obviously the lemon. The Curacao gives it an orange. Way at the end, though, it's an aftertaste.
Yeah.
It's 20 seconds after.
It's an orange finish.
Yeah, the orange finish. And then the brandy and the rum. Mm-hmm. The brandy, here's what happens. The brandy cancels out the rum, and the rum cancels out the brandy, and it makes it into brum.
Or randy?
Or randy. Or rum, rundy. Rumdy?
Okay, rundy.
Rum-DMC.
Rum-DMC.
Now walk this way. Drink the three of these and walk this way.
I've made my choice. This is my favorite cocktail.
This is my favorite cocktail of the night. We don't need to even do the other one.
Stupid
cocktail. It's called the au revoir, and that's what we say to you now. Au revoir.
Sayonara.
Oh, we should probably do it. I cracked an egg.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's right. We cracked an egg.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do that. I'm saving.
I know. Now, here's what Fred always does, folks. He always manages to save a little bit. But I really enjoyed that drink.
That's why
I just finished mine. And so I cannot compare it.
No.
I will say this, just because it popped into my head. There is a part of this, 20% of it, when you are drinking it, that might have an awful cough medicine quality to it.
I've enjoyed almost every cough medicine I've ever had.
Oh, well. more for everybody. More.
I consider myself a bit of an aficionado.
And now we're not in our regular studio today.
No.
We are in the
corporate offices,
the palatial other studio. And so what's convenient about this, and what's a little strange for people that might be watching, of course, you've just stood up, so you've defeated all.
Oh, have I?
Oh. Oh.
I brought this.
You brought a backup shaker. Get a load of this guy. Thinks he knows a bunch, they call him. Well, yeah. Never mind. Forget I said anything. I'm not even going to rinse that out. I was going to turn to this sink that is just conveniently here off camera.
Well, we can.
You know, when we do this at Dave's,
yeah,
we do it in his dining room.
Yeah, which is elegant.
Which is, well, yeah, sure. Oh, no. So here, we'll re-record that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's lovely.
Isn't it?
It's palatial.
With the chandelier.
With the chandelier and all the gilt, the gilt that he lays on us about the work he does.
So the spilling.
And the gold gilt.
Yeah.
But just down the hall is a kitchen with like a bar set up.
Oh, yeah.
It would really be...
ideal?
Conducive.
Sure.
If you were to be mixing drinks.
Yeah, use the bar?
Do it down there. But his wife hangs out down there.
Well, maybe we could switch spots.
I think I suggested it one time, and it was a non-starter.
A non-starter. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you do have to sort of set it up. You can't just walk into anybody's kitchen and start filming. You've got to, you know, set things up. You've got to have a set decorator to put all the proper accoutrement. You have to move the organics recycling bin to another part of the kitchen.
I guess
it's a production, I tell you.
Maybe, okay, I'll grant him some slack on that.
A little bit.
But it's so handy.
I'm still going at him now.
Oh, yeah, that dirty bugger. But it would be handy to have a sink just off camera, like we do today.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the new location.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
I suspect that Dave's been using this as a write-off on his, maybe. On his mortgage.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Oh, he's clever.
Oh,
he's
sure.
A sly one.
He's wily.
Oh, yeah. So what are we? We're doing the au revoir.
Yes, this is good. Here in the book, as we said, the Algonquin Bar and Cocktail Book, Barnes & Noble publication from, I think, about 2002. So I don't know if you can get this anymore. And I don't even know if there's actually a credit for who wrote this. It's just one of these weird...
compilations?
A compilation. There's an editor, a designer, there's a photographer, there's a publisher. I don't know. But it is 2002, so I have got that correct. So the cocktail is called the Au Revoir. Adieu, adieu, to you and you and you. What is that from?
The Sound of Music?
That's right. I shouldn't have put that big Hamlet reading on it.
Yeah.
It's more adieu, adieu, to you and you and you. Right. Au Revoir is the ideal end to a perfect day, much like the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or, even better, Killing Time with Fred and Jason. You ever watch Community?
Yes.
Remember when Abed and Donald Glover's character name? They would
in the morning.
In the morning. Abed. Au Revoir is the ideal end to a perfect day. Take it to bed with your favorite novel. That's what I liked about it. I want to encourage people to take drinking to bed.
Well, you know, I mean. When you say it, it sounds like a good idea.
What if when you shout it?
It's a
take a drink to bed! Yeah. You say it sounds what?
Yeah. It sounds like a great idea until you the practicalities of sitting down on your bed with a glass in one hand full of booze and a book in the other hand and you're trying to get under the covers where you're trying to lean back and it's like, how am I going to... Where do I put the drink down? How do you even turn a page?
Well, you're not holding a drink right now.
No, but if you had the book in one hand, you're going to read a book in bed.
Do you have a nightstand?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
that's where my clock radio is. If I spill, that's it. I'm out $30.
I've never seen you spill a drink in your life.
Good point.
Water, this guy spills.
Oh, all over the place.
Take it to bed with your favorite novel.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you know what I'm reading now?
No.
I'm reading a book called The Big Book of the Continental Op.
Oh.
Yeah.
I read the Continental Op.
Did you?
Yeah.
I've never heard of the Continental Op.
Really?
Okay. I just said that and you just said that. Now you go, oh, the Continental Op. Elaborate.
Well, it's a Dashiell Hammett novel, and the character has no name.
No name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other than that, I don't remember a thing about it.
That's okay.
I read it 40 years ago.
Right. So it's Dashiell Hammett, who went on to do The Maltese Falcon.
Yep.
And a bunch of other well-known noirish, classic San Francisco detective kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the 20s...
The Thin Man.
The Thin Man. He wrote for Black Mask magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds a little hard to say after you've drank a Swalter. And so they were short stories. He did a couple of novels. And this book combines all of those stories. He's a San Francisco detective. See, here's what I thought. I thought the Continental Op mm-hmm. was like a spy that worked on the continent.
Oh.
So I was almost disappointed when I first got it. Yeah. I was just like, oh, he's just the local dick.
Yeah, literally.
And it's almost procedural.
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Yeah.
You know, just the drudgery of detective work.
Yeah.
But with a lot more. Oh, God, they're good. They're
so
good.
The detail.
They're so good.
Yeah.
And so I'm reading my way through the big book of the Continental Law. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, who could I share this with? It looks like you're going to read the big book of the Continental Law when we're done.
Me.
But if you can get this book, go buy it in the store. It's a fantastic book.
There'll be a link on our website.
The big book of the Continental Law.
Maybe. Gosh, who does that?
I don't know. It might be Dave. He won't do it. You have to listen to get this one.
I'll hack into it.
Okay. But gosh, they're good stories.
Yeah.
They're not overblown.
Mm-hmm. No.
But they're good pulpy.
Spare.
They're good pulpy stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, the detective never had a name. And he's a short, fat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he talks about it. He says, I'm a short, fat guy, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
You guess he's probably in his 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I make him younger Walter Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy?
William?
William Conrad. I make him young William Conrad.
Sir William Conrad from... What did he do when he was young? Nothing.
He did some noir.
Canon. I mean, even when he did Canon, he was probably only in his early 50s.
He probably
late
was.
40s.
And I bet he wasn't in his early 50s. I bet he was in his late 40s. Yeah, when he did Canon. He was a short, fat character actor. He did a lot of work on radio, and mm-hmm. he was Marshall Dillon on Gunsmoke.
That's right, on the radio.
Because he had a great voice.
Yeah.
But when you saw him, he was a short, fat guy,
yep.
and it didn't work. But he would work perfectly for the Continental Op.
Oh.
I think.
Damn, it's too late.
I know. I called him,
yeah.
and the phone rang and rang and rang. And then Joe Penny picked up, and I was like, is this Joe Penny? And he said, yeah. And I said, Joe Penny from Jake and the Fat Man?
Mm.
He said, yeah. And I said, and Riptide? And he said, yeah. And I said, is Perry King there? And he went all quiet.
Yeah.
And then he said, no. And I... And then I heard, like, a voice in the background.
That, that sounded...
I think it was Perry King.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, they got to split the rent. You know what rent is like in L.A.? Glenn's paying $1,200 a month for his little place.
Well, that's true. If they had... well, that's another story. if they had theater in L.A.,
yeah.
Joe Penny...
Oh, yeah, he could clean up.
And
do pantomimes.
And Perry King.
King? Perry King, yeah.
Yeah, could do work all the time.
Sure, they'd be...
The Odd Couple.
Our gift to you guys.
Yeah, and but the guy that played Boz there, he could be Murray the Cop. No, he could be, who did you play? Speed. He could
Speed.
Be Speed.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Speed. Speed, Arthur Fiedler. John Fiedler.
John Fiedler.
John Fiedler? Fiedler.
Fiedler?
Fiedler.
Fiedler.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's killing time with Fred and Jason. Nice. Okay. So... take it to bed with your favorite
We're
going to
clip that silence out.
And enjoy a moment of decadence in the name of literature. I want to now drink in bed. A lot of people smoke in bed, and that's dangerous. But
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with drinking in bed.
No, I don't see any downside to that at all, except for the spillage.
When I was
I don't spill.
When I was a younger person,
mm-hmm.
there was a tiny bar fridge outside my bedroom.
Are you going to have a drink for this story?
Yeah, you might. And I knew, this is when I lived at home, and I knew Dad would keep Coke.
Mm-hmm.
In that fridge.
Right.
And so sometimes I would wake up in the night and I would be half asleep and I'd go, you know what I could really use? Coke.
Sure.
And it's right outside my door.
Oh, it's so nice and refreshing.
Oh, yeah. Ice cold Coke out of the little fridge. So I'd go get a Coke
mm-hmm.
and I would drink it in the middle of the night.
Look, 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 look.
And most of the time it was good. But one time I took a sip and I lay it on my chest.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I put my hand there.
Oh, yeah.
And I woke up
uh-huh.
when, you know, when I tipped the Coke over on my chest in the night.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thank you for trying, anyway.
Yeah, I was decadent in the name of literature.
That was you.
The other funny thing is that right next to the Coke, Dad would also...
Can I get some ice?
Yeah. Dad would have cans of V8.
Yeah? Were they as good?
In the dark, a can of Coke and a can of V8 looks a lot the same.
Yeah.
And even opening a can of Coke and a can of V8 sounds similar.
Yeah.
But if you sip it...
Right.
One is saltier and more tomatoey than the other.
Which one...
That's for you to try out on your own.
Here, let me just, here you go. Just slide that right in there. We're having some ice.
Yeah.
Make sure you get ice. That reminds me of a story.
Yeah?
Now,
I'm going to put stuff in here while you tell the story.
Oh, that'd be great. Sure. Okay. That'd kill in time.
Sure.
So my brother Eric and his girl then girlfriend now wife Michelle were having a martini party at their apartment on Commercial Street in Vancouver.
Right, and they seemed kind of hip to the scene.
They were hip.
This
yeah.
was about the time that swing yep. came back and cocktails became in vogue.
That's right. So they were
about 1997.
Yeah. So they were just in the groove, and they were having everybody over for some martinis. They were all making the special Cosmos and the Crantinis and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody, we'd gone through a round of drinks. And
Here's another part of that story, though. Yeah. I know where Fred's going with this.
Yeah.
They didn't have dry vermouth. They had sweet vermouth.
That's right.
That was the first sign that there was trouble in the martini party world.
Yeah, so it's vermouth. There's more than one?
Right. Imagine if somebody looks the part,
yeah,
but doesn't have the stuff.
Well, they were, you know, and Eric was, he's
they're
young.
Dressed like football players.
Sure.
They don't have a ball.
They can't,
this is what's
they don't
going
know
on.
How to catch anything.
Okay.
They got badminton rackets. And they just moved in. They had, you know, they really hadn't been party people. They hadn't had a lot of parties.
Right.
So this is their first, they wanted to entertain, you know, be a part of the crowd. Had us all over, it was great. And so everybody had the first round of drinks, and it was good. And I said, Michelle, we're out of ice. She said, don't worry, I'm making new ice right now. I said, what do you mean you're making new ice? Well, I just put the trays in a few minutes ago, so the ice should be almost ready.
That's right.
I said, but...
Sit tight.
No.
Ice is on its way.
I said, you can't do that. She said, why not? Well, it takes hours to make ice. She said, it does? She said, I'm pretty sure it's almost ready. We went and checked, and there was just a little skiff of ice on the top. She said, it's all just water. I said, yeah, that's it takes hours to make ice. She said, well, I had no idea. Now, you'd think I'm being mean, but she's the first to admit. And she was young. She's probably not even 30 yet, which is pretty young.
She was like the same age as...
Us.
No, what's his name? When he did Canon.
Oh, William Conrad.
William Conrad.
Yeah. But I had no idea. And so somebody had to run out and go to the gas station and get some bags of ice. But yeah, because you don't know. You're a kid. There's always ice.
There's always ice. There's always ice.
There's always ice.
Yes.
So what have you done?
I shouldn't have done that while you were talking.
Oh.
But look, we have chilled... cocktail.
Oh, we have chilled cocktail glasses.
Which we could do at Dave's if we did it in his kitchen.
I guess we could do it at Dave's if we...
Here's what I did, folks, while Fred was talking. I put into this cocktail shaker right here 1.5 ounces of brandy, 1.5 ounces of sloe gin, which is gin which has been infused with the sloe berry, which is smaller than a plum and bigger than a great big weird berry.
Oh, so we're not going to use the Haymans.
I was going to use your Haymans, but I had a quick peek at your Haymans, and it was 20%.
Yeah?
Whereas my Mr. Boston was 30%.
Get out of here.
And I thought...
I like I've been cheated. And I think it should be in the fridge.
I think yours should be in the fridge.
Well, that's 26%.
Oh, I don't see so good up close.
Oh.
So well, I didn't use yours. That's why.
That's all right.
And then I put in the juice of a lemon... And then I put in an egg white. Not a yolk. Just the egg white.
Don't use the yolk.
Don't use the yolk. Just an egg white.
There it is right in there. It's the clear part.
Yes. And you're going to shake this with ice, and then we're going to strain it into a cocktail glass.
Oh, you're going to shake it with ice.
Oh, I'm going to shake it with ice because we put ice in it. And what's going to happen is that the egg white is going to froth up.
Yeah.
And probably grab me by the throat.
More than likely.
Where is your lid?
Oh, I didn't bring the... Oh, that's it there.
Can you imagine having a shaker with no lid? That's
yep,
a license to clean your walls.
Yes.
All right.
Are you going to do it?
I am.
Here,
so now, if you do something with egg white, you got to shake it hard.
Oh, yeah.
You got to plan on a big shake.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a big shake.
Yes. Don't just shake it till it's cold, because what happens is it's going to emulsify.
It's emulsifying.
It's going to emulsify.
Oh, yeah. Emulsification.
It would help to have a timer.
Oh, yeah?
In the corner of the screen.
Okay. How long do you want?
Put me down for 15 minutes.
We just... All right.
How long is that?
14 minutes. Oh.
That's exhausting.
We took Melissa out to the Dark Banner. Her cocktail had egg white in it, and she was a little weird, like, egg white?
She was spooked.
She was spooked, and so Laura said, well, it's just for the froth. It's like a meringue.
Right.
Once she heard the word meringue, she was in.
Whatever it gets to take to make the kids drink.
Exactly.
But see how it froths
up?
Look
at that. It's all frothy.
Oh, it's frothing. Much like me at the mouth.
Oh.
And let's give you a shot over here.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This looks fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. Look at the texture is remarkable.
It is. Don't be afraid of an egg white, people. Please.
No. Not in Canada. Maybe if you're in a foreign land. But our eggs are sanitary. They wash their hands after they go to the bathroom.
Most chickens live in a bowl of bleach.
It's a little known fact.
But,
is that it?
That's it.
That's it. I'm going to get a picture here. I mean, everybody, should I, maybe we should, maybe you should walk over and show the people in video land.
I could walk over and show the people
in video. Because, we're a long way away.
We are. Look at this. Can you imagine such a thing as that? That is a beautiful thing. Look at that. It's the biggest friend. It's a wonderful, wonderful looking drink.
Speaking of, that, the kids in the hall got their Lifetime Achievement Award from the Canadian Screen...
Somebody or others.
Guild or something, yeah.
Did they?
Yesterday. And they did. Squish your head.
Oh, squish your head.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
All right.
What are you doing?
It calls for a little garnish, so I'm gonna just cheat.
I was thinking some kale.
Yeah, this is not a good knife.
That's not an actual knife. it's like... knife-shaped. It's a prop knife.
It is.
If you stabbed that into me, that would just... You wouldn't do anything.
The handle would do more damage to you than that knife would do.
That's right.
I just wanted to lop off a little hunk. This is a... That's not a knife. That's a knife. Oh, dear. That was an awful accent. I do a better Australian accent than that.
Do you?
I do.
Can I try again?
No, I'm not. Now it was just a cry for help. Gosh, this one. Oh my! Either they're making their little.
What are they cutting with those things?
This is ridiculous. We just sharpened this.
Look at this. With what?
I'm.
It won't even.
It will not even.
Not even leave a mark.
No. No.
Try on the. That way.
Here, where there's already been a...
Yeah, you see, you can get a little bite in there. Lord.
No, I'm...
Where's the props department?
I would have...
Props!
Better luck spreading this.
I think you just chew on it and spit a piece out.
I don't
Take
know.
Take a bite. Just...
You know, I would if it wasn't being videotaped and people were expecting better behavior from us. But I'm not going to...
Who expects better behavior?
I don't know.
Let's go, because I really want to try this one.
I know, it's already... This is why you do your prep beforehand. Nobody needs to see this sort of stuff. If you ever go to a bar, you'll often find stuff is already done at the side of the bar.
Yeah.
Here, but I'm just going to do that. And then we got lemon in our
drinks. Oh, see? Now, I should have saved the picture taken.
No, that's all right, because that doesn't look great.
And you don't like the angled shots either, so I'm going to do... I like the Batman... 1966 Batman theory.
Drink! Zip! All right.
And we're out.
We're out. Okay, so this is the Elmore Board. Now imagine, if you will, this is what you take to bed at night with a novel.
Yeah. I have my sleeping cap on.
Mm-hmm.
My nightgown.
Right. You live alone, apparently.
Well, if I start dressing like that, I will.
Now this smells like it has grenadine in it.
Yeah.
It's the slow gin, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. The slow gin is sweet. People don't know that slow gin is like actually more like a liqueur.
Right, which I guess is why they're saying this is for later on, too. It's probably an after-dinner drink.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's funny. The other drink is sweeter, I think.
I'll take your word for it, because I finished mine. Well, this has a juice of a whole lemon in it.
Mm.
So the other one would probably be drinker, or sweeter.
Mm.
It's working!
So this is if you don't like sweet drinks, and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the This would be a good choice because it's got great presentation.
Yes. Look at that.
Foamy. But it's a little dry. The slow gin brings a funny, not funny, but a different flavor than I'm used to.
It does. It's like a it's a little bit like a Kool-Aid, for lack of a better word. The brandy again is not doing anything that you would expect brandy to do.
No. What's that? Ants?
Was that a stray cube?
Oh.
I made this ice today. It's very good ice.
Oh no, it's fresh, brand new.
Yeah. Takes about an hour and a half.
At least. I don't know.
Is that a stain from us?
Yeah.
All right.
You're gonna have to wash this. Do you have a washer and dryer in here?
Not in here.
Oh.
I don't think I like it as much as the other drink.
No. It's a little thin flavor-wise, and I don't know why.
Yeah, like it's thick mouthfeel-wise.
Yes. The foam is great.
Yeah. But the payoff is a little not there. It's not bad. It's a good citrusy drink. Here's what I want it not to be. I want it not to be advertised as the ideal end to a perfect day. Take it to bed with your favorite novel and enjoy a moment of decadence in the name of literature. This is either got to be slushier,
yeah,
like a third-rate margarita, or
yep,
or something else.
To be decadent. I mean, the foam gives it the. I guess he's thinking the foam is the decadence part.
What a decadent world where one drinks raw egg.
I'm decadent. Yes. Ah. Yeah. It's just not enough of a maybe more slow gin.
Yeah, maybe.
Or
although then I'm afraid it would somehow come across as too sweet or too candy-like. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking of putting grenadine in it, and I said, no, I don't want grenadine in it. It doesn't need to be any tartar.
No. No, it's got the nice. It needs something to play off against the tartness that you've got. Although it doesn't really come off particularly lemony. I'm getting a citrus.
Yeah.
But the lemon flavor part of it seems to have been sort of pounded down.
What if there was rum in this one as well?
Rum would help.
Rum, brandy, slow gin, lemon, and egg white.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably creeping towards some kind of a sling concoction at that point.
No, that's true. Yeah, you are. But I would think that the earthiness of the rum might take away some of that thinness that I'm getting. And the flavor profile.
Maybe. It's not awful. I've had worse drinks than this drink.
It almost tastes like you left too many ice cubes in it.
Right. But as you saw, I strained them out.
You did. There's none in here that I can see. Anyway.
No. If anything, ice would be in it in the particulate state.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly.
Particulate?
Yeah. Molecular?
Oh. Molecular ice. Ooh. Now, this is a subject.
Oh, yeah.
Can there be molecular ice?
Well,
ice. Just for a second. And then it's melted. Well,
ice is made out of molecules.
Oh, then I guess it is.
Yeah.
But it's made out of water molecules. Isn't that funny? Ice is made out of almost entirely water.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we don't call it water.
No. It's weird.
If I froze a cat, I wouldn't call it ice.
No.
I would call it.
You call it a frozen
Pookie.
Cat.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Pookie? Call it Lucy.
Call it Lucy.
Why?
Say, get inside. It's cold outside.
Well.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I think we had a home run with the Sir Walter.
I think we had a home. Yes, Walter. You're going to go home and make that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go home and make that.
No?
No, I had one here.
Well, that's true.
And I'm still sort of kind of watching the old gut thing.
Yeah. No, I might not make it for me.
Oh, just throw it out in the yard.
Yeah. It's good fertilizer.
Oh, now before I forget.
Mm.
And I'm sure that, what time have we got?
We're running out of battery.
Okay. This will be brief and then we're going to wrap this thing up. You went to California.
Oh, yes, I did.
And did you manage to meet up with our hero, RJ?
No.
Ah.
Poor RJ. RJ was booked by a friend who was helping move.
Helping move?
Helping move a friend.
What is it, Keith Hernandez? Well, he knows Keith Hernandez?
Maybe. Yeah, it's so you know he's of a certain age. You know he's under 40. If you're helping a friend move, you're under 40.
That's, although I had you help me move, and you were over 40.
Really?
He's a good guy. This is a guy.
I don't think I was happy about
it. If you want Fred to help you move, leave a comment. Just let him let him know when and where he'll show up.
So there's a problem with the U-Haul, and so it just kiboshed the whole thing. So we tried.
Yeah. Where does he live? Do we know?
California.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a big state.
Yeah, he's in Los Angeles.
Right. But we don't know what neighborhood.
We didn't get that far, but he does, it wasn't too far. It was close enough that he was going to be able to pop in and meet us in Hollywood.
Right.
He said it wasn't going to be that far away. But the schedules got buggered.
What a shame.
Yeah. And what my agent was also in Hollywood at the same time.
Oh, your agent was also in Hollywood?
Yeah, she couldn't meet up with me either.
Oh, that might be a trouble sign. Was she meeting with RJ?
I think that was the problem.
Oh, yikes. Wow, okay. What about our friend Glenn Toronto, who lives in California?
I did meet up with Glenn Toronto. Laura and I met up with Glenn a couple of times. He's doing great. The video game is wrapped, and he's pretty happy with that.
Is he allowed to talk about it?
Not at all.
Are you?
Nope. He wouldn't. No, he's smarter than to tell me anything.
Right.
He's got an...
But you have said this.
He was in a video game.
Okay, so that's our big scoop. Glenn Toronto, video game, voice actor.
No, motion capture.
And not his voice.
And his body.
But not his voice?
And his voice.
And his voice. And his body.
And his face.
I've heard that they're bringing Leisure Suit Larry back. The people that made Grand Theft Auto and Leisure Suit Larry are combining to make a filthy, filthy Leisure Suit Larry.
Sierra?
Gentleman of Elegant... Oh,
Sierra Online?
Yeah. Is that who used to do King's Quest? Was that Sierra Online?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever finish a King's Quest game?
No, I did Leisure Suit Larry, and we did Space Quest.
Oh, yeah.
That was enough.
Did you ever have the King's Quest games?
No.
I had 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
I never did any of them.
We had Leisure Suit Larry 1 through 7. We did them all. And Space Quest 1 through 5, we did them all.
Remember you would get those hint books with the colored card?
Yeah.
And you could slide it down the page?
I never bought those.
No, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You never bought them because he borrowed them from his friend. I had one for King's Quest 5. That's why I know about them. And I still didn't finish it. But you hung onto that hard drive from that old computer of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, I still have King's Quest 5.
Oh, look, I've got a box full of hard drives.
I think you gave me the hard drive.
Oh, good.
Where the hell is that?
All right. Well, I think we have a clear winner.
Yes.
And it's not this one.
It's not au revoir. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
But it needs another element to it.
Mm-hmm. The fifth element.
The fifth element. Or an elephant.
Yeah.
So yeah, the clear winner tonight, I think, is the Sir Walter.
The Sir Walter?
With brandy and what? Brandy and rum. Mixed together with Curacao.
A little bit of Curacao, a little bit of lemon, and a little bit of grenadine.
There's nothing wrong with that. That is a great classic, sort of a 70s era drink. I think it's older than that, but it gives me that vibe.
Yeah, that's true. But it's nice. It's well balanced. A little bit on the sweet side, but not cloying. And I think you'd be happy with that. It'd be nice. Nice.
And speaking of cloying, Dave Cloying will be back
for the next episode.
For the next episode.
Episode 75. Golden...
Our final episode.
No, we're four episodes away from our final episode.
Oh, I thought we were going to quit at 75.
No.
I thought we were going to finish up with a French 75 and an au revoir.
No.
See, this is foreshadowing.
No, we have four episodes left. Unless people start leaving
messages.
That was
three episodes ago.
It's always been four episodes.
You better leave a comment. Or this joy goes away. Sure. However, it's replaced with Killing Time with Fred and Jason. Which is maybe what we should have done from the very beginning, quite frankly.
Dave's a wonderful camera operator. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, no. We jest. But this is good.
Yep.
This is our new format.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to do it again.
No, but write in. Send us comments.
Yeah. And let us know if you do like it, because maybe we can make this work.
We could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Send in your banners.
Mm-hmm. We'll yeah, posters. If you got anything of John Stamos, we'll put that right up here.
Mm-hmm. But we won't put up anything of Lori Loughlin.
We really can't.
Topical.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so that's good. We had two cocktails. We liked one of them.
And we didn't like the other one as much.
Yeah.
But we have yet to find a cocktail that we didn't like.
That we didn't, that we hated.
That we hated. Well, we might have. We found that too.
The pickle one.
The pickle one. And that one that you sent back in London. But we won't talk about that because that's in past episodes.
That's right.
In the meantime, though, make these drinks at home. Mm-hmm. Check out all of our numerous social media sites.
Definitely.
Which we listed at the top of the mm-hmm. show. So yep. if you haven't gone there already, go back to the beginning. No. Gentlemenofelegantleisure.com, Instagram, Cocktail Podcast, mm-hmm. And we're on YouTube.
Yep, YouTube. You just have to Google Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Yes.
And Facebook, the same thing.
The same thing.
Take you right to us.
You'll find us. Go to the website and everything will connect up.
Oh,
that.
That's the way to do it.
That's where you go. Go to gentlemenofelegantleisure.com. It's the hub.
Yeah. And go to the Dark Manor.
We didn't even get the Dark Matter.
We'll talk about that next time when Dave is back.
When Dave is back.
But I'll tell you one thing, you know, because we went to a couple places, and before we were at SNL to meet Sheila and Laurie, and then we picked up my niece, and we went to Dark Matter.
SNL?
SNL.
Sheila and Laurie?
Oh. I just figured that out. And then we went from there to Stormcrow Tavern.
That's a long drive.
It's a long drive, and I have to say, we had five great servers. Happy, the girl making the drinks at SNL, it was her second day. She was using the book. She hit it right. I had the black walnut sour, which I do like there.
That is a good drink.
And, you know, as much as it, you know, I was running out of money because we just come back from L.A.,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, they gave great service, and, you know, when you're a gentleman of elegant leisure...
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to dig deep.
Reach down in your pocket.
And you should...
Tip big. This crazy thing off.
I think we should just keep going. We're going to recycle this right into Killing Time with
Fred and Jason.